It's the Next Gear Green on PodTech.net. I'm Matt Kelly. We're here at the Alt Car Expo in Santa Monica at the Santa Monica Airport. And I have the great pleasure today of being joined today by Ed Begley Jr., actor and environmental activist. Actually, it's a title that you've held for almost 40 years, actually.
Well, thank you. I did start this in 1970. That's when I bought my first electric car. That's when I started recycling. I started composting then, doing all this stuff back then. And back then, I urge everybody to take note. I did it on a very modest budget. I was not a working actor back then. I had very modest income, and I did it on very little money. And that's what I urge everybody to do. Pick the low-hanging fruit first. Do what is cheapest and easiest first, and what you can afford in your budget, or no more. And then you move up the ladder. If you save money on some of these things, and I suggest that you will, then you can move up the ladder over time and buy things that perhaps cost a bit more.
I'm curious, where did this passion begin? You know, you're the son of a famous actor, and was this type of awareness instilled growing up in your family, or was it something that you just became aware of through your education?
My dad was a conservative Republican who liked to conserve. He had been through the Depression, and he liked to save energy, turn off the lights, and save tinfoil, and do all that stuff. So he was a very careful man, and a wonderful father, and a good teacher. He also taught me, don't tell people what you're going to do. Tell them what you've done. Talk is cheap. Do something. And by 1970, I had just gotten fed up with the smog, so I wanted to do something. So I bought my first electric car. And I've always been very action-oriented because of my dad. I was also a Boy Scout, so I had a love of the outdoors that came from scouting. And so one very good thing, which was scouting, and one very bad thing, which was growing up in smoggy L.A., led me on this path where I remain today.
And you were green before it was popular, in a sense. And you took a lot of flack for it. People was like, oh, Ed Begley Jr., that kook and whatnot. And it's sort of come full circle. Is there a certain amount of satisfaction, in a sense, to say, see, I told you so?
There's no time for I told you so or any other meaningless discussions. It's just welcome aboard. You know, somebody's jumping on this train. I think it's important that we all hop on, you know. No time for a big discussion. You need to make room on the platform for others to climb on up. So I don't spend any time talking about those things. There's no purpose served.
Well, one of the reasons that you're here today is as company spokesman for Curry Industries or Curry Technologies. And actually, there's a backstory to this company. Isn't that true?
Yeah. Richard Mayer, this wonderful guy, has worked at Curry for years. He built my first really cool electric car that was just the best car I had in the early 90s. I had a nice little Subaru that was a good car converted. My friend Howard Latowski and I worked on that and got it up to freeway speeds. But this car that Richard Mayer built for me, I gave him a check for 10 grand. He handed me the keys to a car. He converted a VW Rabbit. I sold it 4 years later for 10 grand. I put a sum total of $800 into it. At some point in those 4 years, I replaced the batteries to the tune of $800. I spent no money on electricity because I had solar. So a car that you run, own and operate, all in service, $800 over 4 years. I've never had a car like that. Nobody has. You can't run a Yugo for 4 years for $800. So Richard Mayer was part of Curry Technologies for years. He introduced me to these wonderful people at iZip Bikes that is part of Curry Technologies. They're great bikes. And hey, if you're a purist, you can just pedal them like any bike. But if you want a little assist, if you're getting to be my age, which is 58, you want a little help occasionally, you turn on the switch, suddenly you're Lance Armstrong. Suddenly you're Greg LeMond.
Can you talk to us a little bit more about the bike?
The bikes are all hybrids. You need to pedal them to go. You can't just sit there. It's not an electric scooter.
Which was what the original mopeds were. You had to, you know, pedal them to start as well.
Exactly. It's like that. Only one of them has a high top speed, if you will. I call 35 miles an hour a high top speed, and I suppose it is.
For a bike, I think that's pretty fast.
It is pretty fast. That's on the flats. You can easily hit and maintain 35 miles an hour on that bike. That's their high-end bike. They have other bikes that are just a regular mountain bike that will go like any bike. It'll go about 18, 20 miles an hour on the flats. But you can, if it's a hot day and you're dressed in nice clothing, you don't have to break a sweat. You know, if you want to have a little help coming home from a long ride, you can get some help going up the hill. They're good bikes, and there's a lot of people, unlike myself, who've been biking for years that want a bike, but they just can't get over that hump, if you will. They want to get in shape. They just it's too much for them to bike right away. This is a perfect bridge technology to get them riding and interested in bicycles.
And how much are they manufactured, suggested retail price for?
The lowest end bike they have is that little fold-up right there, that blue one, that kind of cobalt blue. That one is $599. They have them $799, $899. They have different prices for that. And then they have very expensive bikes that cost, you know, $1,800 or something that are real rockets that go, you know, 50-mile range, 35 miles an hour speed.
This is a company based out of Chatsworth, California. Where can they get more information to find out info about the bike?
You can go to their wonderful web store, .currytech.com, and learn a lot more about them there. You can do a search. You can go to iZip USA, that is iZIPUSA.com, and learn more about them. They're great bikes, and I ride one, and I can vouch for them.
Two final questions. I want to ask you about the role of celebrity in trying to promote this technology. Do you think there's a responsibility of people who attain a certain status in life to actually try to promote this, who have a following, in a sense, of celebrity, to actually get behind a cause of something like this?
I think if you're famous or not famous, you have a right to speak out, speak your mind, and endorse whatever you want. But having said that, if you are famous, I think you have a responsibility to, first of all, have your facts right and to have studied it and make sure you're promoting something that is a sound technology and that it is scientifically credible. You know, like when I talk about matters of great importance, like global climate change, I listen to people with PhD after the name, I read peer-reviewed studies and act accordingly. So I think that is your responsibility if you're in the public eye. You don't want to jump up to the microphone in a crowded theater and scream fire. You want to, but if the fire marshal tells you, and the fire marshals are these PhDs and people of that ilk, say, hey, we got to slowly evacuate the theater. Don't panic anybody. We don't want to stampede. But there's a little problem in the basement with a fire smoldering, and we got to slowly evacuate. You can't get up and just do a song and dance. You have an obligation because the fire marshal has told you to do so. And so I think that's a responsibility that you have, to have the best science and to act accordingly.
You were prominent in the movie Who Killed the Electric Vehicle, detailing the demise of the EV1. General Motors has turned around now and has announced the Volt with plans, hopefully, for 2010 of a production release date of that vehicle. How do you feel about that? Does it actually give you some pleasure that they've come back into the EV fold?
Yes, I think it's great that they're doing that. I think it's a sound business plan. I think they're watching Toyota and others do very well with their Priuses. And then they're also seeing a lot of this thirst for pure electric and people with plug-in hybrids. And there's a lot of interest in that. So I think they're smart to do it. And by 2010, I think they're going to be very happy that they did.
And your final thoughts on the EV community and your role as company spokesman for iZip and your lifelong passion for environmental awareness?
I think electric vehicles have a big place in our transportation package for the simple reason you cannot make gasoline in the roof of your house. You can make electrons in the roof of your house. I know because I'm doing it.
Ed Begley Jr., a pleasure speaking to you today. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
For the Next Gear Green, I'm Matt Kelly on podtech.net.